You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The Wisconsin Technical College System supports Wisconsin joining the coalition of states suing the Trump administration to restore funding under the Adult Education and Family Literacy Act. Of the 34,000 students enrolled in adult education at Wisconsin's 16 technical colleges each year, over 17,000 depend on Adult Education and Family Literacy Act funding to access essential services delivered through the technical colleges and community-based organizations. In the 2023-24 academic year alone, over 2,500 of these learners enrolled in post-secondary occupational programs at these colleges, programs that directly lead to career pathways and help meet the workforce needs of Wisconsin employers. A recent report released by the Wisconsin Policy Forum found the state lost over 55,000 jobs on the lower end of the pay scale as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. According to the report, the state lost about 55,700 jobs that paid less than $45,000 per year since the height of the pandemic. The most heavily impacted fields include food services, office support positions, and production jobs. Low-paying transportation and shipping jobs did see an increase, and jobs with salaries over $45,000 remained stable. Three finalists are revealed for Madison's next police chief. The list announced Friday includes current Madison interim police chief John Patterson, who stepped into the chief's role when previous chief Sean Barnes became Seattle's police chief last February. Also named are Madison police captain Stephanie Drescher, who heads training for the department, and Milwaukee assistant police chief Stephen Johnson, who has served as an officer for 18 years, rising to assistant chief in 2021. Final interviews with the three candidates are scheduled for next month. When Governor Evers signed the new state budget into law, he called it a win for Wisconsin's kids and families. But child care providers say the support for their industry isn't enough. Parker Olson reports.
The new state budget spends over $360 million to stabilize Wisconsin's child care system. It was a key demand for Governor Evers in budget negotiations with Republican lawmakers. The state funding comes as federal funding has run out. The pandemic-era relief program Child Care Counts has sent out its final payments. But providers say the state budget still falls short. Outside the state capitol on Friday, they described just how fragile the industry remains.
This week, I experienced one of the most difficult moments since opening. My entire staff has resigned. For 6 months, I've been trying to hire new teachers, but every qualified candidate needed a starting wage of at least $17 per hour, a rate I simply cannot offer without additional funding.
That's Ashley Blackett, owner of Tiny Diney Academy in Durand, Northwest Wisconsin. Advocates say the industry is being squeezed on three sides. Child care is too expensive for families, too costly to run, and pays too little to retain staff. The new two-year state budget directs money in multiple ways, to parents, to providers, and to systemic fixes. Governor Evers has declared 2025 the year of the kid, and said he wouldn't sign a budget that lacked child care funding. The budget also increases special education reimbursements, though not as much as advocates wanted. Last year, voters approved a record number of school district referenda, raising local taxes to make up for education costs. That's according to a report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum. Corrine Hedrickson, who runs Corrine's Little Explorers in New Glarus, says that kind of pressure could backfire, especially given the way the budget is being sold by the education governor.
And as soon as the schools start raising property taxes, the community no longer trusts the people that they thought they trusted. And it's not the politicians, because they don't trust the politicians the way it is.
Demonstrators also delivered a letter to the governor's office Friday, saying he should call the legislature into a special session for more funding. I'm Parker Olson.
U.S. Department of Agriculture, Rural Development, Wisconsin State Director Andrew C. Iverson has announced that USDA Rural Development is investing a $24 million loan to the city of Baraboo to construct a new central fire station and a smaller satellite station. The funding is through the USDA RD Community Facilities Direct Loan and Grant Program. The CF Direct Loan and Grant Program provides low-interest loan funding to eligible applicants to develop essential community facilities in rural areas. An essential community facility is defined as a facility that provides an essential service to the local community for the orderly development of the community in a primarily rural area and does not include private, commercial, or business undertakings. Eligible borrowers include public entities, community-based nonprofit corporations, and federally recognized tribes. Rural areas include cities, villages, townships, and towns, including federally recognized tribal lands with no more than 20,000 residents, according to the latest U.S. Census data, are eligible for this program. Funds can be used to purchase, construct, and improve essential community facilities, purchase equipment, and pay related project expenses. The current Baraboo Fire Facility was constructed in 1868, with an addition made in 1957. The new facilities will combine the Fire and Emergency Management System District for greater efficiency. It will accommodate the larger staff that is needed due to the increase in calls received. The new facilities will include space for living quarters, staff support areas, and bays. The central fire station will have a training area and the city's emergency operations center. The construction of the central fire center and substation will increase response time in the community and save more lives. The National High School Rodeo Finals are underway in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Monday's go-round results in bareback riding, Cade Parrish of Laval placed 25th with a score of 65. In barrel racing, Quinn Donsky of Sparta placed 36th with a time of 17.896. Sage Kite of Oxford placed 61st with a time of 18.236. And Hadley Alderson of Onalaska placed 98th with a time of 19.416. In boys cutting, Cade Parrish of Laval placed 25th with a score of 198. In girls cutting, Lainey Lund of Lime Springs, Iowa placed 42nd with a score of 198. In goat tying, Callie Parrish of Laval placed 33rd with a time of 8.88. Kaylin Ollendick of Camp Douglas tied for 51st with a time of 11.08. And Brinley Hoffman of Townsend placed 65th with a time of 13.99. In pole bending, Raylan Johnson of Broadhead placed 27th with a time of 21.165. Maddie McBride of Holman placed 33rd with a time of 21.271. And Kaylin Olendick placed 60th with a time of 21.991. In rain cow horse, Raylan Johnson of Broadhead placed 41st with a score of 255.5. In saddle bronc, Trip Kite of Oxford placed 10th with a score of 71. In steer wrestling, Toy Regets of Cassville placed 30th with a time of 23.87. In tie-down roping, Kyan Nelson of Toma placed 27th with a time of 13.33. Nathan Van Ert of Wisconsin Rapids placed 33rd with a time of 14.18. And Lucas Miller of Mineral Point placed 47th with a time of 16.32. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
The All-Star Game ends in a tiebreaker. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the All-Star Game in Atlanta ended after 9 innings in a 6-6 tie, so for the first time in the game's history, it went into a tiebreaker. They call a swing-off, a mini home run derby. Philly slugger Kyle Schwarber managed to hit 3 home runs in a row to win the swing-off 4-3 and was named the game's MVP. Brewers pitcher Trevor McGill and the Miz, Jacob Mizorowski, each got a chance to play, retiring 4 batters, allowing just 1 hit between the two of them. Up next, the Brewers head to L.A. to open up a 6-game road trip against the Dodgers this weekend, followed by the Mariners in Seattle. NFL, Jordan Love holding his youth football camp in Milwaukee tomorrow afternoon.
You know, that's part of a mission of our foundation is to get kids, get the youth involved in sports. That was a big pillar in my life, was just being able to play sports as a kid, be together with the different kids in my age group, and meet NFL players now, too.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Emmy nominations for this year are in, and if you like to laugh, here are some shows you may or may not have seen that could be worth checking out. The nominees for the Best Comedy Series include Abbott Elementary, The Bear, HBO's Hacks, Netflix's Nobody Wants This, Only Murders in the Building, Apple TV's Shrinking, and The Studio, and the offbeat cool What We Do in the Shadows. Nominees for Actor in a Comedy Series include Adam Brody for Nobody Wants This, The Studio's Seth Rogen, Jason Segel in Shrinking, Martin Short in Only Murders, and Jeremy Allen White for The Bear. Outstanding actress nominees in a comedy series include Io Edebiri from The Bear, Jean Smart from Hacks, no surprise there, Kristen Bell from Nobody Wants This, and Quinta Brunson from Abbott Elementary. Emmy nominations are in, and here are some shows nominated in the Best Drama category. Andor from Disney+, Netflix's The Diplomat, HBO has 3 nominees with The Last of Us, The Pitt, and White Lotus. Hulu's Paradise, and rounding out the nominees are Apple TV's Severance and Slow Horses. Not a weak link in the bunch. Nominees nominees for Best Actress in the drama series include Kathy Bates for Matlock, Sharon Horgan in Bad Sisters, Bella Ramsey in The Last of Us, Britt Lower for Severance, and Kerry Russell in The Diplomat. Best Actor nominees in a drama series include Gary Oldman for Slow Horses, Adam Scott in Severance, Noah Wiley in The Pitt, Pedro Pascal for The Last of Us, and Sterling K. Brown for Paradise. And when it comes to the Outstanding Scripted Variety Series, you've got to like your chances, as there are only two nominees, Last Week with John Oliver and Saturday Night Live. The 2025 list of Emmy nominations has been released, and Ben Stiller is probably ecstatic. He's one of the executive producers of the show Severance, which brought in 27 Emmy nominations to lead the pack. Three other shows also drew more than 20 nominations, including HBO's The Penguin, which grabbed 24 nominations. The other two shows that drew more than 20 were Apple TV's The Studio, which pulled in 23 nominations, and HBO's White Lotus, which also pulled in 23. Lots of TV to check out if you want to make the Emmy Awards more enjoyable. Looks like I have to give Severance another chance. The Primetime Emmy Awards, which will be the 77th, take place at the Peacock Theater in Los Angeles September 14th. The show will air on PBS and Paramount Plus and will be hosted by Nate Bargatze, if he's not too busy developing his new amusement park called Nateland. No joke. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms are possible later today and again tonight, and a couple of those could be strong to severe. Otherwise, today will be warm and muggy with a high in the mid to upper 80s tonight, upper 50s tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy and cooler with a high in the low 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 72.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.